This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
By getting married, one completes half of his religion. But what is the relationship between a wife and her husband, and how can they maintain their marriage? Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Youth Talk. First of all, the guests in the studio, I'd like to welcome them. Sheikh Waleed Bassiouni, instructor at the American Open University in Virginia, the Imam of the Clear Lake Islamic Center in Houston, and a member of the Fatwa Committee in the Muslim Jurist in North America. It's a pleasure having you with us.
It's my pleasure.
I'd also like to welcome our other guests in the studio. On my left, I have Muhammad, who is an English translator. I have next to him Mahmoud, also a translator, and Akmal from Malaysia, who is a graduate of Political Science University, Cairo. Political Science Faculty, Cairo University. First of all, Sheikh Waleed, we spoke in the past about finding the correct person or the right person in life. We also spoke about the contract of marriage, touching upon the various conditions of the contract of marriage. Are there various types of marriages? We know that we have heard of many a kind of marriages. I'll let you give us the information in that respect.
Any marriage should be judged by the condition that we mentioned before, which they are. First, it has to fulfill or to meet the conditions. And we said before, first condition, it has to be an offer, an acceptance from both sides. There should be wali, should be witnesses. Mm-hmm. It should be not in secret. It should not be in secret. Mm-hmm. There is a dowry or mahar given to the female. So these are the conditions. So some of them, if they are not exist, the marriage will not be valid, like the first two conditions. If there is no offer and acceptance, that will not be valid. If there is nobody, the vast majority of the scholars said it will not be valid as well. Also, if it's done in a very secretive way that nobody else knows about it. Somebody scholar would say this is not going to be a valid marriage. If it's a temporary marriage, also it's not going to be valid. So we have to meet these conditions. You name it, whatever name you want to name it, like you call it urfi or a custom marriage. This marriage has to meet the condition. If it meets the condition, it's acceptable. If it doesn't meet the condition, it's not acceptable.
But what about temporary marriage, getting married for a fixed period?
Yeah. This type of marriage will exist before Islam. It's called the marriage of mut'ah, a joy marriage, or temporary marriage. And the Prophet ﷺ did not, or the Sharia, did not stop people from practicing this type of marriage in the early time of Islam. But the Prophet ﷺ send Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu arda, as Imam Bukhari reported in his Sahih, to Mecca in the time of Hajj, when Abu Bakr led the Hujjaj in the 8th Hijrah to perform their first Hajj. And Ali radiallahu anhu announced in that great gathering that the mut'ah marriage, or this temporary marriage, joy marriage, is forbidden, is not allowed anymore. And that's why the Ahlul Sunnah, they said, this type of marriage is invalid and it's not acceptable.
Yes, but what about the marriage of Nisyar? Say, for instance, I'm a merchant. I travel a lot to the States. Can I have a wife there in the States? And I live here in Cairo. And whenever I go to the States, I stay with her.
Good question. If Nisyar, let me say, I don't know if there is any equal word to the word Nisyar in English, because in a Western culture, or the Muslim community who live in the West, they don't have this type of marriage. It's, at least it's not common. So, misyar, they mean by misyar is somebody who will not be, if we can use this word, full-time husband. Okay. It means when the wife gave up some of her rights. Either she said, I don't need your financial support. I'm rich, I make money, I don't need you to support me financially, okay? Or she said, I don't need you to live with me. I'm, for example, taking care of my mother. She's old. And whenever you come to this city, you will come to my house or to spend the days that you are here with me, I'm giving up marriage. Is this allowed or not? Recently, the Muslim jurist and the Muslim world, they have annual meeting in Mecca, and they discuss this type of marriage, and they said, it is allowed if the woman give up her rights, and this is will not cause harm. Like for, and they mean by that, let's say she said, okay, I don't mind if you don't come here all the time, maybe sometime, some days in the month or whatever period of time they agree upon. But by staying away from her might cause problem, might cause that she will be in a status that she cannot control like herself. She might be, a'udhu billah, involved in what is haram, or he will be involved in what is haram. In this case, if they cannot protect themselves, or this separation will cause problem to any one of them, this type of marriage will not be allowed. So basically, they are capable of maintaining themselves in the right way or in the according to the Islamic laws. And also, it's by the mutual consent between both sides. Between both sides. And by the way, this reminds me that one of the conditions of marriage that it has to be based on consistent acceptance from both sides and consents. Yeah. So nobody can force his daughter to marry somebody. This will not be a valid marriage.
What about Urfi marriage or customary marriage? Are there some incidents when that is permitted? I mean, under law, of course, it's not permitted, but from an Islamic point of view, is that permitted?
The same group of scholars also said that this customary marriage or Urfi will not be allowed the way the people practicing today. In a sense that a boy and a girl in the college, what they do, they go to an apartment just before they having sexual relationship. They say, I marry you, you marry me, let's write this in a piece of paper, and that's it, and she's allowed for me. Or Allah is our witness, Allah is the ma'adhun, stuff, a lot of things like that. Allah is the one who's handling our marriage, and that's it. You don't play games with Allah. You don't cheat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the right way to get married. Mm-hmm. So this type of marriage is not acceptable in Islam, no doubt. And marriage meant to be in public. Yeah. It's not meant to be in this closed doors, nobody, as if it is a relationship between a prostitute, a'udhu billah, and a customer. That's not the way the relationship between a husband and wife.
But Sheikh, in some cases they go to a lawyer and he does a contract for them, but it will not be documented by the government. So, is it correct?
In what cases, again? I mean, that's the question again. I mean, in some cases, are there certain cases where a Urfi marriage can be considered a proper Islamic marriage?
The problem with the word Urfi, it's different from Urfi, it means customary. Mm. So, custom is different from one country to another. We don't care about the custom here, we care about the condition. If it meets the condition, the wali is there, there is witnesses, there were offer and acceptance from both sides, and her family knows about it. It's acceptable. Mm-hmm. It meets the condition. Acceptable. You want to call it Urfi in one country, you don't want to call it Urfi, it's up to you. Do we need to record this on the government paperwork? It has to be written? I think yes. It has to be done in the proper way. If you live in a country, you have to be an obedient citizen. Mm-hmm. Go with the law of your country. This law, alhamdulillah, will not contradict the Islamic law. And the government put this law to protect your rights. What if this person died today? And somebody said, no, you have nothing to do with his heritage, or she cannot inherit anything from him. The law meant to protect your right. You know, so this, what if he said, oh, this is not my son, I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. The things, and there is examples, and there's stories we hear about it, that people deny that they ever had a relationship with this girl, just basically because there is nothing to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Now you're saying that awali is a prerequisite for a valid marriage. But I've heard that a pre-married woman, if she's going to marry again, she doesn't need awali. Is this true?
If she's been married, she doesn't need a wali. Yeah. Some scholars said that if the woman is old, she has experience in life, she's intelligent. Some said that. Some said if she's divorced, and because divorce, usually they refer to a divorced woman or a widow, because she had experience in life. She's not usually young, very young age. She's a mature woman. She can decide on her behalf, or she can decide if this man is right for her or not. So they said there's no need for a wedding. Mm-hmm. This opinion, in my opinion, is not a valid opinion. Why? Mm-hmm. If you say that, that means that the woman who's never been married before, she, what do you mean? She's not intelligent? She can't decide for herself? Mm-hmm. No, she can be intelligent even if she's 18 or 19 years old. Yeah. It's not about intelligent or not. It's not about being who can judge she is intelligent or not. Who can judge she has experience? There is no definition for that. That like a very clear definition of intelligent or somebody has experience or old. How old? 30? 40? Okay, it can be divorced and she's only 18 years old. She can be widow and she's only 19 years old. What about that? If they said no, whoever said that, cannot come up, he couldn't come up with any criteria or a clear definition for the situation where he said, okay, you're allowed to worry without wali and without or with wali. That's one point. The second point, the Prophet ﷺ said clearly, لا نكاح إلا بولي. Marriage will not be valid without wali. Mm-hmm. Very clear, the Prophet ﷺ said that. And the hadith is authentic, even though some people might try to criticize the authenticity of the hadith. Also, Aisha radiallahu anha said, the difference between marriage and fornication is the wali. Mm-hmm. Imagine if somebody meet a girl, I marry you, you marry me, that's it. You know, also she said, this is usually what people, when they go to fornicate with somebody, like with a prostitute, that he offer her money, she accept the money, and now they go together. But the marriage, no. The marriage is about, that's why I said the difference between fornication and marriage is the wali and the witnesses and the duf, that it's in public. Mm. It's not in secret. Mm. Also, you see that Umar radiallahu anhu and Ibn Mas'ud and so many of the Sahaba and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ said that if any woman married a man without wali, her marriage is not valid. And they did not say if she's old or young, divorced or widow or... you know, they never mentioned that. And also here, one more point I would like to add. Why the Sharia put the guardian as a condition in the marriage, like if a girl want to get married, she need to have a guardian, a wali, to represent her in the marriage. Is it because we don't trust women? Is it because a male world? Is it because... Mm-hmm. Male better than woman? Unfortunately, this is not the way we should look at this issue. The scholars mention several benefits from having the wedding. One, marriage is a very serious relationship. It means a commitment from a man to a female to mm-hmm. take care of her. It's basically, they're going to share their future, their life together. And this only also will continue even after death. That they will be married to each other in Jannah, inshallah. So this is a very serious issue. In order for you to make the right decision, you have to have, you have to know the full and the whole picture. Always the female look at the male from one perspective, as a female. Mm-hmm. But when male deal with another male, he deal with him from another perspective. You know, when I see a guy, I look at him and I deal with him from different angle than a girl dealing with a guy. The girl sees something from the man, and I see something else from him. That's why Islam want to give the girl the full picture, her perspective, and the male perspective of the mm-hmm. of the person. She knows. So I cannot, if I'm convinced with the person, she's not going to marry him. If I'm not convinced and she is convinced, I just deliver my advice to her. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be up to her to accept or not in the end of the day. So Islam wants the girl to have a very clear picture of the person. Also, the guardian, the wali, supposed to go and ask about the person. Go to his job and investigate about the person. Mm-hmm. And imagine if a girl come to your college, you're mm-hmm. studying Cary, you yeah. used to study in Cary University. Yeah. If she comes to your class and she said, how's Akmal? I'm interested in marrying him. Is that proper? You know?
Well,
I'm asking
well,
about him. Yeah. It's not proper, that's right. It's not proper
it's not
that
normal.
The girl will, it's not normal. Hmm. It's something that sounds wrong, you know? She goes to your work or to your neighborhood to ask about you. Mm-hmm. It's
what do you,
the wellies
do. What do you think about that, if that would happen?
I don't know what to do.
Okay. So that's the wali's role, to go and to investigate. Mm-hmm. The Sharia are afraid that the woman will not have, as you say, like the guts to go mm-hmm. and ask and investigate so she will accept. Mm-hmm. No, the Sharia wants somebody else go investigate and look and talk to the relatives and so on. So actually the Sharia look after the benefit of the girl when the Sharia said the girl must have wali. But if you think about this, you will not differentiate between a divorced woman mm-hmm. and a woman never been married. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or I think the people who said an old woman or a divorced woman, she doesn't need wali, they didn't realize the great wisdom behind the wali. Mm-hmm.
What if the woman is non-Muslim?
Yes. Okay.
Does that make any difference if the man, if a Muslim is marrying a non-Muslim?
Yeah. And then the girl, you know, who will be the wali to that girl?
Okay. Let me ask the second part first. Mm-hmm. If she's not Muslim, mm-hmm. Who is her wali? Who is her wali? There is a difference of opinions between the scholars about this. The vast majority of scholars said, let me go back a little bit and say, if there is a Muslim sister, mm-hmm. her wali is not Muslim. Mm-hmm. Her wali is not Muslim. She's Muslim, but her wali is not Muslim. She became Muslim, and her father is still Christian or Jewish or Buddhist or whatever religion mm-hmm. he believes in. Can he become her wali? The vast majority of the scholars said no. The vast majority said no. He cannot be her wali. Some scholars said no. He still can be the wali. He still can be the wali. Mm-hmm. And if he abused his right as a wali, he said, I don't want you to marry a Muslim. In this case, her wali will be the judge or the, if she's in a non-Muslim country, the head of the Islamic center or the imam of the masjid will be her mm-hmm. her wali. Personally, I always tell the sister, the convert sisters, mm-hmm. go let your father represent you in the marriage. Hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I want the father to know that we cares about the family structure. Mm-hmm. We don't just ignore his existence. Mm-hmm. Because being a father will not change by being Muslim or not Muslim. Mm-hmm. You're still a father.
Yeah.
You're still the older brother. You're still a family member. So it will not be changed just because she became Muslim. Mm-hmm. She still has a relationship. She still will care about her in most mm-hmm. of the cases. So that's something I always recommend to put him involved in mm-hmm. the process. As if she's not Muslim, her wali is her father still.
But what
there's
does
no,
the
there's no question about that. That she still mm-hmm. needs a wali, and her wali and her is her father mm-hmm. or her brother, older brother of her father, doesn't want to handle the marriage.
Now I remember the proverb, I think it's an English proverb that said, my son is my son until he finds a wife, and my sister will be my sister throughout life. Okay. My daughter, I'm sorry, my daughter will be my daughter throughout her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Going back to the point you said about the non-Muslim also marrying a non-Muslim. Mm-hmm. Non-Muslim, there's two types of non-Muslim. Mm-hmm. Non-Muslim who's a Christian or Jew, and non-Muslim who doesn't believe in any book, or he believe, or he has other faith than other Christianity and Judaism. Christians and Jews, Al-Islam allowed marrying from their females with the condition that they should be muhsana. وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Mm-hmm. They are muhsana, muhsana, chaste woman. The woman who do not practice adultery, who do not practice zina, basically. Mm-hmm. And this woman, not allowed to marry, even if she's Muslim, you're not allowed to marry such a woman until she repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she has to be among the people of the book. People of the book, it doesn't mean that she has to believe in the pure Christian, the original message of Jesus. You know, Christian, it means a person who is Christian. Even if he believed Jesus is God or Jesus, Son of God, he's still considered Christian. So the Christian today, the Jews today, mm-hmm. they are the Jews and Christians who used to be existed in the Prophet ﷺ time. The same belief, mm-hmm. the same belief basically. Mm-hmm. Also the scholar said, even if there is new groups or new sects among Christians or Jews appear, they will take the rules of Christian and Jews. Like for example, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there were no Mormons. Hmm. Mormons is a new sect in Christianity. Mm-hmm. But can you marry a girl who's Mormons? If she's muhsana, if she protects her chastity, yes. The scholar said yes, she takes the same rule. If she's not a Christian, if she's not a Jew, mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تُمْسِكُوا بِعِصَمِ الْكَوَافِرِ. Don't be married to a kafir woman, mm-hmm. a non-Muslim, other than the people of the book, because there is exception for the people of the book, because those the people, subhanAllah, if you look through the history of Islam, Muslim interact with the most. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What about, that's if, of course, a Muslim man is marrying a Muslim female. What about the opposite, if it's a Muslim female who wants to marry a non-Muslim man?
In Islam, it's very clear that a female believer cannot marry a non-Muslim, a non-Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, don't let the male disbeliever mm-hmm. marry a female believer until they convert to Islam, until they became Muslim. And we know in the history of the mm-hmm. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the process of time, a man who proposed to a Muslim woman and she said, my mahar will be your Islam, you have to be Muslim in order for me to marry you. So that's something, there is a consensus among the scholars about it, that a female Muslim cannot marry a non-Muslim, even if he is among the people of book. The reason for that, mm-hmm. you know, for me as a Muslim male, I have respect. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Moses. I believe in David. I believe mm-hmm. in the Torah. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the book, which they believe in generally. I do have respect for that. I believe in it. It's part of my belief. But if you go the other way around, it's not the same case. Mm-hmm. They don't believe in Muhammad. They don't believe in Quran as a word of God. Because if they do, they have to follow it. You know, even if they have some, even some of them or so many of them, they have respect for Islam. They have respect for the book we believe in. But the rule comes as a general rule for all the time, all the situations. So Islam, if you think about a male married to non-Muslim, or a Christian female, because you believe that she is among the people of book, you have so much respect and believe in her religion as a religion would reveal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you go to the other way around, it's not the same case. Mm-hmm. It's not the same case. So Islam is afraid that she will be abused. She will not, her religion will not be recognized. And also because of the children. Yeah. Because of the children. This is also something Islam look after, because usually male have, or husbands have more influence on the children's mm-hmm. than females, in a sense the custody can take them away, he's the provider and so on.
Hamid, we'll take a short break and we'll be back in a few moments with some more questions, of course, and we'll continue the topic with Sheikh. Now, we've spoken about the intent of marriage and different types of marriages, and of course marrying a non-Muslim as well. If we were to move now to post-marriage, or the relationship between the husband and the wife.
But before we start, I have a question.
Okay. Muhammad,
what if after marriage the wife becomes a Muslim while the husband is still a non-Muslim? Can she continue in marriage, or we have to separate between them?
Okay, it's a good question. If the woman converted to Islam or became Muslim, and her husband did not accept Islam to be his religion, what's the situation here? What's the solution? This woman has to tell her husband that I can't live with you if you don't accept Islam, because I'm not allowed to do that. And she can give him as much as you want time to think about this. Mm-hmm. She can wait a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever time she wants, until she feel that he is not willing to change. He's not going to accept his wife's new faith, you know. But during this period, the scholar said she's not allowed to have a sexual relationship with him, like to have intercourse in that period of time. If he became Muslim, she doesn't need to renew the contract. She doesn't need to make a new contract. Their marriage will be valid and just they continue their life.
The relationship between the Muslim husband and his Muslim wife, or non-Muslim wife as well, as a matter of fact. Are there certain characteristics of how this relationship should be built between the husband and wife?
Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would choose three verses in Quran. I think they describe, and they just beautifully describe the nature of the relationship between the husband and wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when He created for us spouses, جَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So there will be love and mercy. Any house has to be based on these two pillars, love and mercy. Sometimes the love goes up and down, but if there is mercy in the house, believe me, this mercy can save so many houses from collapsing, to be collapsed. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu said, not every house among the Muslims is based on love. Not everybody really go deep in this, can be any, we call the strong love between them. But if there is mercy, the marriage can survive. But if there is no mercy and there is no love, marriage cannot survive. It became a disaster. That's one. Two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He described the relationship between male and female, He made it a very beautiful way in Arabic language. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. They're like clothes for you, and you're like clothes for them. Right. The question here, what clothes mean to you? When you think about clothes, it means the closest thing to you. So your wife and your husband must be the closest thing to you. What clothes means? Imagine if you without clothes. You I look covered. Terrible. We put clothes to beautify ourselves. You know, I feel that I'm ugly without my wife. I feel I'm not complete without my wife. I'm incomplete without my wife. Incomplete without my husband. I feel this is, I need her and she needs me. You know, imagine a suit by itself and a person. Like, that is, if you put it on, you become more beautiful. This is the way it is. It's like, they say it's like the cereal and the spoon, you know. You need to eat cereal, you need a spoon. A spoon to eat the cereal. But that's the nature of it. Also, clothes protect you. And that's the marriage. Protect you. Also, clothes make you warm. And that's the relationship between man and a woman when they married each other. There's a warm relationship. Also, when you have your clothes on, you're comfortable. You know, it should be comfortable. It's not to be tight or too loose. It has to be comfortable. And you adopt, you get used to it. You know, actually, when you wear like pants several times, it fits you right. It became like in your size and you fit in it perfectly. And this is the marriage. It should be something you feel comfortable with. You feel comfortable with you when you are with your wife or when you are with your husband. So clothes has so many meanings, even more than what I just mentioned. But the third verse I would like to share with you, it's a beautiful verse. Also related to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ. This is general rule. And this is the key for success in this matter. They have the same rights that you have. In another word, whatever you expect from her, she should also expect the same thing from you. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu once was seen fixing his hair and putting perfume while he is entering his house. So the student said, you know, this weird, you know, usually you put perfume and you fix yourself and you're going out. He was doing the opposite. He said, I'm expecting my wife to be ready for me when I walk into the house. So if I want her to be ready for me, I should be ready for her. And he recited this verse, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ. You know, the problem, so many times we ask about our rights, but we don't think about their rights, you know? And always in Islam, there is mutual responsibility. As Islam gives you something, he asks you to do something. There is duties and responsibilities. This is the nature of the rules. So this verse clearly saying, whatever you expect from her, you should, she should expect the same from you. Mm-hmm. You want her to treat you with respect, you treat her with respect. You want to treat her. You want her to treat you, to consult you. You should also consult her. If she expecting him to respect him, to respect her, she should respect him also. It's like a cooperation. It's like a company. We have to work together the home in a way that we really share the responsibility. And I love this verse because really it's the basis of justice.
And what about home tasks? Are there certain duties that the woman has?
Sorry, say that again?
But home tasks, cooking, washing, cleaning, is that only responsibility of women or men has to share these tasks with her?
I think that ties in a bit with the fact that some males tend to neglect that they have any responsibilities to provide themselves as well. That it's always the female, the wife, who should do...
The Prophet ﷺ كان في مهنتي أهلي. The Prophet ﷺ used to help his wife. He used to help his wife in his house. The Prophet ﷺ, Anas radiallahu anhu, said about him that he, for 10 years, he never asked Anas to do anything for him. Anas is his servant. He never asked Anas radiallahu anhu to do this to him or to do that. And he never asked him why you didn't do this. Well, why didn't do that? He always, you know, do whatever he wants by himself. The process is not of his habit to ask people to do. You know, try to do this with your wife. Just one day. Don't ask her to do anything to you, for you. Do it yourself. But try it. Try it.
She might get used to it.
Used to it. This is the problem. The problem is we think in, from only mono or have thinking. One way, it's... You think, okay, you don't want me to ask you. Also, you have to do
your part as well.
Your part as well. You try to help me because the wife supposed to help her husband to provide for, as he provide money and bring income to the house, to the food at the table, she should take care of the table, you know, and help him to have a comfortable place to live in. So it's a mutual responsibility. And generally, I would say I always do what I have to do, regardless of the other party, did his part or not. This is my way, this is my philosophy in life. But like, I have to treat you good. I don't, if you don't treat me good, or you don't treat me fair, I will treat you fair. You see what I'm saying? So, as much as we can spread this meaning in our houses, I think our house will be.
But when I help my wife at home, at the home task, I do it voluntarily. I'm not obliged by the Sharia to do it.
I don't want to say something that the sister will take advantage of this. there is a different opinion between the scholars. If the wife even has to do this, she's obligated to serve you in home?
Of course not.
There is a different opinion. The vast majority of fuqaha said yes, it's part of her duty to cook, to make the house clean. But some fuqaha, it's not also, it's an opinion exists among the fuqaha, said, no, she's not. But also something related to the nature of relationship between husband and wife. It's not, we're not in a court. What is my right? She's not employee. And you are not employee. She's not your boss. You're not her boss. Don't treat your home like the way you treat a company or a job. It's different. In job, it's not in my job prescription. You see what I'm saying? But in home, we don't do that. In home, you know, I love to help her to make her happy. She loves to do that because she wants to make me happy. You know, we want to live a happy life. That's why I'm doing that. I'm not doing this because I have to. I don't need a text from a Quran or Sunnah to tell me, help my wife or cook for my husband. If we start going this way,
should be willing to do it yourself.
It's not going to be good life.
You should be willing to do it yourself. I mean, it's not obligatory neither for her or for you to actually do it. It's a give and take.
Like, yeah, that's why it's not in Sharia like that. Sharia, there is a general telling, help one another. You know, she should make you happy and you should make her happy. So this up to you. Live in good. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. live in good. Okay. How to define good? Whatever we agree upon that is good, ever considered a good way of talking, good way of treating, this is up to you. That's the way I would like to see it in our home. Yeah, we want to do that because we want to help one another.
Yeah. Somebody says that, you know, wife should be only at home, and then the husband must be outside, means that they're working, they're sick, and something like that. Is that true?
The normal situation that there is responsibility and there is duties. Mm-hmm. If both parents are outside the home, who's taking care of the house, taking care of the kids?
What if the wife outside the house? It's vice versa, you know?
Vice versa? Yeah. It's not the normal situation. Mm-hmm. It's not the normal situation. Mm-hmm. Only if there is need for the wife to go outside, she go. If there is need for that and it's not going to cause problem or it will not affect in a negative way your children or...
So if she can sort both out together, for example, like give enough time for her work and enough time for the home as well, be it that it's difficult, but if she can, then that is something that isn't, that's acceptable. Is that correct or not?
If there is need for that, and by the husband agree on that and to meet the Islamic conditions, yes, it's acceptable. It is acceptable.
And nowadays we have housemaid, and so it's no problem at all. So what do you think on that?
Even in the old days, they have housemaid. You know, it's very common since the Prophet time. There's a lot of housemaid and, you know, servants and slaves and serving in the house. But it never meant that it means I leave my children to the house.
Their presence, of the father and the mother is something that's necessary.
No doubt. Every woman who knows the hard task actually in the marriage is to raise this new generation and taking care of your husband is, I think, just being alive, that's a full-time job. Just
Mahmoud?
Yeah. Sheikh, I'm sure that the wife to her husband at the beginning is a stranger, as will the husband to his wife. How can we deal with each other at the beginning of the married life, given that they are of different backgrounds, socially and culturally, and from educational background?
They've never been alone with a door closed behind them. Yeah. It's just the two of them now.
Yeah. In another word, how can we break the ice? You know, how can we make these two maybe different people live together and become like one soul? You know, the our partner, zawj, pairs. You know, they going to share everything together. No doubt, this is a very critical procedure, and the earliest period of time in marriage is always the most difficult part because you get to know her, she knows you. I have several advice related to this. One, make sure that you don't say, she had to adopt my culture. She has to change herself to be like me. Mm-hmm. Or the other way around, they tell her, make sure that you change him from the beginning, he's like a doll. You can do him. Make him like a ring in your finger. You know, everybody think that he is going to stand up here and the other person will come to him, will change himself for him or for her. This mentality is not going to help you to have a stable and a long-term marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِيُّرِيدَ إِصْلَاحَ. It's beautiful. إِيُّرِيدَ إِصْلَاحَ means if both of them want to make peace or to come back to each other, Allah will give them success. Allah didn't say if he wants to have her back or if she wants. It has to be both. Mm-hmm. It means this will come from both sides. Mm-hmm. Don't ever say she has to come to me or she has to change herself to be. No, make sure that you understand this. She has her own culture. She has her own way of thinking. She has her own habits and hobby. Don't expect that she's going to change everything for you. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, sister, she's not expect the man to change everything for her. Mm-hmm. This mentality that, you have to change, you have to meet me. No, we have to meet each other one way in the middle.
At a point in the middle.
That's number one rule.
Yes. Okay.
Also, one thing, we have to know that this is going to happen over the time. Alhamdulillah, you have enough time to go through this transition. Mm-hmm. Don't rush. don't feel like, oh, you're going to feel comfortable 100% from the first day or first week. It takes time to understand each other. Mm-hmm. It's a joke, okay? It's not true. One guy told his mother once, Mom, I have problem in my marriage, and you're expert. Mm-hmm. She said, son, you know, it's always the first 25 years in your marriage. Have some problems. After that, everything will be fine because one of you is going to be dead.
Probably.
This is
maybe a solution.
No, just don't rush to change. You know, it's going to take your time, and things will come gradually. Also, so many people, they do this in the first night. Like in the first night, he feel like everything's going to be like comfortable and, you know, do the whole nine yards, you know. So it's not going to work this way. That's why the scholar said, take your time, introduce yourself, and things like that. Maybe these days so few people need to take these steps because they already know each other before marriage. But anyway, we talk about the ideal.
Yeah. But you need, in any case, a bit of understanding and take it slowly, like they say.
Yeah. And you have to live with your difference. We have to understand to live with our difference. You have to know that your wife has her own taste, and you have to respect that. Mm-hmm. And you have to have your husband has his own taste and things that he likes. Respect that. And the smart woman and the smart man is the one who knows his wives very well and try to communicate good with her. You know, a man, and he's well known that he is like, no, he knows a woman very well and he's good experience. He was asked, he was a Muslim, he was asked, what's the secret that you're so expert with women? What's the secret to understand women? He said the secret behind that, that in two things, chocolate and conversation. You know,
simple.
I don't know about the first one, but the second one definitely.
Conversation.
Mm-hmm. Communication is the key. How to make a good to communicate in the right way. You know, the smart woman, the one who will know what her husband wants without him talking. He knows what she wants without her talking. Be considerate. Understand that she has her own life, and if you don't know how women function, and most people don't, because Allah only knows how people function, I'll put it that way. But if you don't, you have to ask. Mm-hmm. There's no shy to ask what you like, what you don't like. You know, things like that.
Akmal, there was something about the role that families play, not just the man and his wife, for example. Usually it's more of a marriage of families. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the families play an important role after the marriage as well?
Yeah, of course, I'm sure, because, you know, everybody has their own role. They have to play their roles. Really.
Are you excited about meeting your future mother-in-law?
It depends. Sometimes feel like worst.
You know, this is something. This is something very bad, and I think the media is responsible for that. Some movies are responsible for that. Some jokes, maybe some.
They pick the mother-in-law as
Like she's a scary, you know, the boogie woman, boogeyman. Yeah. You know, come out of the closet, jump on you. You know, even they said the luckiest day in your life, you walk with your mother-in-law, and she fall off the bridge. the bad luck is she can survive. You know, that's evil. That's an evil statement. That's evil joke. That's not right. Your mother-in-law should be so close to you. You should be lucky that you have an extra mother. She treats you like a mother. Mm-hmm. The word hama or mother-in-law, it's always something you're scared. The problem is when the mother-in-law thinks that she has to take the girl away from her family. Mm-hmm. Or your mom think that her role is to take your wives away from her family. And her mom think that her role in life is to bring you to them and take you away from your family. If you start thinking this way, this is a problem. This is wrong. Yeah. This is not an Islamic way of thinking. And we have to know, when we get married, we bring two families together. You know, I'm part of her family and she's part of my family. Right. We have to understand the nature of this unique relationship. We should take this as an advantage, not as a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. It means I'm expanding my relationship.
Mm-hmm. Is there that we've now gone beyond getting to know each other and marriage and whatever? How can a wife and her husband maintain a strong marriage, a loving marriage? You know, that sometimes when people get in the middle of the troubles of life and the difficulties, that the nice small words, the affection, the warmth, that's lost somehow in between. How can you maintain something like that?
I think the best example I can give is the best example for all humanity is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm talking about man in his 50s, late 50s and 60 years old. He's still telling his wife that he loves her. Mm-hmm. He's telling Aisha that he loves her. Mahbubatu Rasulullah, that's the name of Aisha. She's the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he used to treat them, they said, there's a statistic saying, if a person says to his wife every day, at least 12 times, I love you, I love you, it will have so much good impact in their marriage life. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can say 13 times if you want.
12 times a day?
Limited to
12. Not just 12.
But it's a study been done. And they found the person who said to his wife 12 times at least, I love you, this relationship became so strong. You know, some parents, they feel shy to say that in front of their kids, in front of their children. Mm-hmm. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that in front of his companions, that he loves Aisha the most. That's one. Two, they said also, when you talk about like the people who counseling or marriage counselor, they will tell you, small things has more effect than big things. Do you know that the rose that you leave it in your wife's bed has more effect on her maybe than $1,000 you give it to her? I don't know about that, but maybe some people said that. But believe me, these small things, when you walk by her and cover her, when you say the nicest word, see, the Prophet ﷺ used to eat from the same place, or he would drink from the same spot where Aisha drank or ate. The Prophet ﷺ would share with her the same food. The Prophet ﷺ would take shower with her. The Prophet ﷺ, when he go to sleep, he will take off his shirt, so his wife's skin will touch his skin. The Prophet ﷺ, when he wants Safiya to ride the camel, you know what he did? Mm-hmm. He put his knee, so Safiya step on his thigh and ride the camel. Like opening the door for your wife. Mm-hmm. She doesn't need to walk behind you. She doesn't need to be treated with no respect. These small things you do for your wife, you do for your husband, believe me, it's like magic. It changed the person around.
For the first time maybe you can see everything is just like romantic, you know. But after maybe 10 years, maybe we get worried down, so how can we...
Maybe another first
child. Well, these are some of the answers.
I think keeping that in mind, that your love should grow, should not die. And if you maintain it the way I said, you have to be patient. You have to be understanding of the other person. You have to look at the Prophet ﷺ as a role model. I'm sorry to say that. When we think about romantic life, we don't look to the Prophet ﷺ life. When we think about love, we think about girlfriends and boyfriends. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is what's put in some people's mind. Love is out of marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, that's common. I heard from young brothers and sisters telling me, love die when marriage starts. Or love end with marriage.
So at the end, the small things make a difference. And marriage is not an end in itself. It's just the beginning of a
true love.
Of a true love.
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to thank, of course, Sheikh Walid Bassiouni for joining us on the program. I'd like to thank Muhammad, Mahmoud and Akmal. It's a pleasure having you all with us. We'll be back again soon with a new episode and more topics to talk about here on Youth Talk. And his Muslim wife, or non-Muslim wife as well, as a matter of fact. Are there certain characteristics of how this relationship should be built between the husband and wife?
Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll choose three verses in Quran. I think they describe, and they just beautifully describe the nature of the relationship between the husband and wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when He created for us spouses, جَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So there will be love and mercy. Any house has to be based on these two pillars, love and mercy. Sometimes the love goes up and down, but if there is mercy in the house, believe me, this mercy, can save so many houses from collapsing. To be collapsed. That's why Umar radiallahu anh said, not every house among the Muslims based on love. Not everybody really go deep in this, on this can be any, we call that strong love between them. But if there is mercy, the marriage can survive. Mm-hmm. But if there is no mercy and there is no love, marriage cannot survive. It became a disaster. That's one. Two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He described the relationship between male and female, He made it a very beautiful way in Arabic language. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. They're like clothes for you, mm-hmm. and you're like clothes for them. Garment. The question here, what clothes mean to you? When you think about clothes, it means the closest thing to you. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. your wife and your husband must be the closest thing to you. Mm-hmm. What clothes means? Imagine if you without clothes. Mm-hmm. You I'm look covered. Terrible. Mm-hmm. We put clothes to beautify ourselves. You know, mm-hmm. I feel that I'm ugly without my wife. I feel I'm not complete without my wife. I'm incomplete without my wife. Mm-hmm. Incomplete without my husband. I feel this is, I need her and she needs me. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine a suit by itself and a person. Like, that is, if you put it on, you become more beautiful. This is the way it is. It's like, they say it's like the cereal and the spoon, you know. Mm-hmm. You need to eat cereal, you need a spoon. Mm-hmm. Spoon to eat the cereal. But that's the nature of it. Also, clothes protect you. Mm-hmm. And that's the marriage, protect you. Also, clothes make you warm. Mm-hmm. And that's the relationship between man and a woman when they married each other. There's a warm relationship. Also, when you have your clothes on, you're comfortable. You know, mm-hmm. it should be comfortable. It's not to be tight or too loose. It has to be comfortable. And you adopt, you get used to it. You know, you actually, when you wear like pants several times, mm-hmm. it fits you right. It, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. It became like in your size and you fit in it perfectly. And this is the marriage. It should be something you feel comfortable with. You feel comfortable with you when you are with your wife or when you are with your husband. Mm-hmm. So clothes has so many meanings, even more than what I just mentioned. But the third verse I would like to share with you, it's a beautiful verse. Mm-hmm. Also related to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ. This is general rule. And this is the key for success in this matter. Mm-hmm. They have the same rights that you have. In another word, whatever you expect from her, she should also expect the same thing from you. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu once was seen fixing his hair and putting perfume while he is entering his house. So the student said, you know, this weird, you know, usually you put perfume and you fix yourself and you're going out. He was doing the opposite. He said, I'm expecting my wife to be ready for me when I walk into the house. So if I want her to be ready for me, I should be ready for her. And he recited this verse, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنْ. You know, the problem, so many times we ask about our rights, but we don't think about their rights, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And always in Islam, there is mutual responsibility. As Islam gave you something, He asked you to do something. There is duties and responsibilities. This is the nature of the rules. So this verse clearly saying, whatever you expect from her, she should expect the same from you. Mm-hmm. You want her to treat you with respect, mm-hmm. you treat her with respect. You want to treat her, you want her to treat you, to consult you, you should also consult her. If she expecting him to respect her, she should respect him also. It's like a cooperation. It's like a company. We have mm-hmm. to work together. The home in a way that we really share the responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I love this verse because really it's the basis of justice.
And what about home tasks? Are there certain duties that the woman has?
Sorry, say that again?
But home tasks, cooking, washing, cleaning, is that all the responsibility of women or men has to share these tasks with her?
I think that ties in a bit with the fact that some males tend to neglect that they have any responsibilities to provide themselves as well. Mm-hmm. That it's always the female, the wife, who should do.
The Prophet ﷺ كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِ. The Prophet ﷺ used to help his wife in his house. The Prophet ﷺ, Anas radiallahu anhu, said about him that he, for 10 years, he never asked Anas to do anything for him. Anas is his servant. He never asked Anas radiallahu anhu to do this to him or to do that. And he never asked him why you didn't do this or why you didn't do that. Mm-hmm. He always, you know, do whatever he wants by himself. The Prophet is not of his habit to ask people to do. You know, try to do this with your wife. Just one day. Don't ask her to do anything to you, for you. Do it yourself. But try it. Try it.
I'm afraid.
She might get used to it.
Used to it. Yeah. This is the problem. The problem is we think in from only mono or thinking. One way. It's you think, okay, you don't want me to ask you. Also, you have to do your
Part as well.
Your part as well. You try to help me because the wife's supposed to help her husband to provide for, as he provide money and bring income to the house, to the food at the table, she should take care of the table, you know, and help him to have a comfortable place to live in. So it's a mutual responsibility. And generally, I would say, I always do what I have to do, regardless of the other party did his part or not. This is my way, this is my philosophy in life.
But
like, I have to treat you good. I don't, if you don't treat me good, or you don't treat me fair, I will treat you fair. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, as much as we can spread this meaning in our houses, I think our house will be.
But when I help my wife at home, at the home task, I do it voluntarily. I'm not obliged by the Sharia to do it.
I don't want to say something that the sister will take advantage of this. there is a different opinion between the scholars. If the wife even has to do this, she's obligated to serve you in home?
Of course not.
There is a different opinion. The vast majority of fuqaha said yes, it's part of her duty to cook, to make the house clean. But some fuqaha, it's an opinion exists among the fuqaha, said no, she's not. But I'll tell you something in related to the nature of relationship between husband and wife. Mm-hmm. We're not in a court. Mm-hmm. What is my right? She's not employee. And you are not employee. She's not your boss. You're not her boss. Don't treat your home like the way you treat a company or a job. It's different. In job, it's not in my job prescription. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But in home, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. In home, you know, I love to help her to make her happy. She loves to do that because she wants to make me happy. You know, we want to live a happy life. That's why I'm doing that. I'm not doing this because I have to. I don't need a text from a Quran or Sunnah to tell me help my wife or cook for my husband. Mm-hmm. If we start going this way,
you should be willing to do it yourself.
It's not going to be good life.
You should be willing to do it yourself. I mean, it's not obligatory neither for her or for you to actually do it. It's a give and take.
Like yeah, that's why it's not in Sharia like that. Sharia there is a general telling help one another. You know, she should make you happy and you should make her happy. Mm-hmm. So this is up to you. Live in good. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Live in good. Okay. How to define good? Whatever we agree upon that is good, whatever considered a good way of talking, good way of treating, this is up to you. That's the way I would like to see it in our home. Yeah, we want to do that because we want to help one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about Okay. Somebody says that, you know, wife should be only at home and then the husband must be outside, means that they're working, they're sick, and something like that. Is that true?
The normal situation that there is responsibility and there is duties. Mm-hmm. If both parents are outside the home, who's taking care of the house, taking care of the kids?
What if the wife outside the house, it's vice versa, you know?
Vice versa? Yeah. It's not the normal situation. Mm-hmm. It's not the normal situation. Mm-hmm. Only if there is need for the wife to go outside, she go. If there is need for that and it's not going to cause problem or it will not affect in a negative way your children or...
So if she can sort both out together, for example, I'll give enough time for her work and enough time for the home as well, be it that it's difficult, but if she can, then that is something that isn't, that's acceptable. Is that correct or not?
If there is need for that and by the husband agree on that and to meet the Islamic conditions... Yes, it's acceptable. It is acceptable.
And nowadays we have housemaid and so so it's no problem at all. So what do you think on that?
Even in the old days, they have housemaid. You know, it's very common since the Prophet time. There's a lot of housemaid and, you know, servants and slaves and serving in the house. But but never meant that it means I leave my children to the house.
Their presence, yeah. of the father and the mother is something that's necessary.
No doubt. Every woman who know the hard task actually in the marriage is to raise this new generation and taking care of your husband is, I think, just being alive, that's a full-time job. Just
Mahmoud?
Yeah. Sheikh, I'm sure that the wife to her husband at the beginning is a stranger, as will the husband to his wife. How can they deal with each other at the beginning of the married life, given that they are of different backgrounds socially and culturally, from educational background?
They've never been alone with a door closed behind them. Yeah. It's just the two of them now.
Yeah, in another word, how can we break the ice, you know? How can we make these two maybe different people live together and become like one soul, you know, our partner, Zawj, pairs, you know, they going to share everything together. No doubt this is a very critical procedure, and the earliest period of time in marriage is always the most difficult part, because you get to know her, she knows you. I have several advice related to this. One, make sure that you don't say, she had to adopt my culture. She has to change herself to be like me. Mm-hmm. Or this, the other way around, they tell her, make sure that you change him from the beginning, he's like a doll. You can make him like a ring in your finger. You know, everybody think that he is going to stand up here and the other person will come to him, will change himself for him or for her. This mentality is not going to help you to have a stable and a long-term marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, "Iyurida islaha." It's beautiful. "Iyurida islaha" means if both of them want to make peace or to come back to each other, Allah will give them success. Allah didn't say if he wants to have her back or if she wants. It has to be both. Mm-hmm. It means this will come from both sides. Mm-hmm. Don't ever say she has to come to me or she has to change herself to be. No, make sure that you understand this. She has her own culture. She has her own way of thinking. She has her own habits and hobby. Don't expect that she's going to change everything for you. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, sister, she's not to expect the man to change everything for her. Mm-hmm. This mentality that, you have to change, you have to meet me. No, we have to meet each other one way in the middle.
At a point in the middle.
That's number one rule.
Yes.
Also, one thing, we have to know that this is going to happen over the time. Alhamdulillah, I have enough time to go through this transition. Mm-hmm. Don't rush. Don't feel like, you're going to feel comfortable 100% from the first day or first week. It takes time to understand each other. Mm-hmm. It's a joke, okay? It's not true. One guy told his mother once, "Mom, I have problem in my marriage, and you're expert." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Son, you know, it's always the first 25 years in your marriage. Have some problems. After that, everything will be fine because one of you is going to be dead." This is
maybe a solution.
No, just don't rush to change. You know, it's gonna take your time, and things will come gradually. Also, so many people, they do this in the first night. Like in the first night, he feels like everything's gonna be like comfortable, and you know, do the whole nine yards. You know, so. It's not going to work this way. That's why the scholar said, take your time, introduce yourself, and things like that. Maybe these days, so few people need to take these steps because they already know each other before marriage. But anyway, we talk about the ideal. Yeah.
But you need, in any case, a bit of understanding and take it slowly, like they say.
Yeah. And you have to live with your difference. We have to understand to live with our difference. You have to know that your wife has her own taste, and you have to respect that. Mm-hmm. And you have to have your husband has his own taste and things that he likes. Respect that. And the smart woman and the smart man is the one who knows his wives very well and try to communicate good with her. Hmm. You know, a man, and he's well known that he is like, no, he knows women very well and he's good experience. He was asked, he was a Muslim, he was asked, what's the secret that you're so expert with women? What's the secret to understand women? He said the secret behind that, in two things, chocolate and conversation. You know, I don't know about the first one, but the second one, definitely.
Conversation.
Mm-hmm. Communication is the key. How to make a good, to communicate in the right way. You know, the smart woman, the one who will know what her husband wants without him talking. He knows what she wants without her talking. Be considerate. Understand that she has her own life, and if you don't know how women function, and most people don't, because Allah only knows how people function, I'll put it that way. But if you don't, you have to ask. Mm-hmm. There's no shy to ask what you like, what you don't like. You know, things like that.
Akmal, there was something about the role that families play, not just the man and his wife, for example. Usually it's more of a marriage of families. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the families play an important role after the marriage as well?
Yeah, of course, I'm sure, because, you know, everybody has their own role. They have to play their roles. Really.
Are you excited about meeting your future mother-in-law?
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes feel like worst, and sometimes feel like,
you know, this is something very bad, and I think the media is responsible for that. Some movies are responsible for that. Some jokes, mm-hmm. maybe some.
The mother-in-law is
true. Like she's a scary, you know, the boogie woman, boogeyman. Yeah. You know, come out of the closet, jump on you. You know, even they said the luckiest day in your life, you walk with your mother-in-law, and she fall off the bridge. the bad luck is she can survive. You know, that's evil. That's an evil statement. That's evil joke. That's not right. Your mother-in-law should be so close to you. You should be lucky that you have an extra mother. She treats you like a mother. Mm-hmm. The word hama or mother-in-law, it's always something you're scared. The problem is when the mother-in-law thinks that she has to take the girl away from her family. Mm-hmm. Or your mom think that her role is to take your wives away from her family. And her mom think that her role in life is to bring you to them and take you away from your family. If you start thinking this way, this is a problem. This is wrong. Yeah. This is not an Islamic way of thinking. And we have to know, when we get married, we bring two families together. You know, I'm part of her family and she's part of mm-hmm. my family. Right. We have to understand the nature of this unique relationship. We should take this as an advantage, not as a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. It means I'm expanding my relationship.
Is there that we've now gone beyond getting to know each other and marriage and what? How can a wife and her husband maintain a strong marriage, a loving marriage? You know, that sometimes when people get in the middle of the troubles of life and the difficulties, that the nice small words, the affection, the warmth, that's lost somehow in between. How can you maintain something like that?
I think the best example I can give is the best example for all humanity is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm talking about man in his 50s, late 50s and 60 years old. He's still telling his wife that he loves her. He's telling Aisha that he loves her. Mahbubatu Rasulullah, that's the name of Aisha. She's the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he used to treat them, you know, they said, this statistic saying, if a person says to his wife every day, at least 12 times, I love you, I love you, it will have so much good impact in their marriage life. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can say 13 times if you want.
12 times a day?
Limited to
12. Not just 12.
You know, but it's a study been done. And they found the person who said to his wife, 12 times at least, I love you, this relationship became so strong. You know, some parents, they feel shy to say that in front of their kids, in front of their children. Mm-hmm. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that in front of his companions, that he loves Aisha the most. That's one. Two, they said also, when you talk about like the people who counseling or marriage counselor, they will tell you, small things has more effect than big things. Do you know that the rose that you leave it in your wife's bed has more effect on her maybe than $1,000 you give it to her? I don't know about that, but maybe some people said that. But believe me, these small things, when you walk by her and cover her, when you say the nicest word, see, the Prophet ﷺ used to eat from the same place, or he would drink from the same spot where Aisha drank or ate. The Prophet ﷺ would share with her the same food. The Prophet ﷺ would take shower with her. The Prophet ﷺ, when he go to sleep, he will take off his shirt, so his wife's skin will touch his skin. The Prophet ﷺ, when he wants Safiya to ride the camel, you know what he did? He put his knee, so Safiya step on his thigh and ride the camel. Like opening the door for your wife. She doesn't need to walk behind you. She doesn't need to be treated with no respect. These small things you do for your wife, you do for your husband, believe me, it's like magic. Change the person around.
You know, for the first time maybe we can see everything is just like romantic, you know. But after maybe 10 years, maybe we get bored with them, so how can we...
Well, these are some of the answers.
I think keeping that in mind, that your love should grow, should not die. And if you maintain it the way I said, you have to be patient. You have to be understanding of the other person. You have to to look at the Prophet ﷺ as a role model. I'm sorry to say that. When we think about romantic life, we don't look to the Prophet ﷺ life. When we think about love, we think about girlfriends and boyfriends. Actually, this is what's put in some people's mind. Love is out of marriage. You know, that's common. I heard from young brothers and sisters telling me, love die when marriage starts. Or love end with marriage.
So at the end, the small things make a difference. And marriage is not an end in itself. It's just the beginning of a
true love.
Of a true love.
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to thank, of course, Sheikh Walid Basyuni for joining us on the program. I'd like to thank Muhammad, Mahmoud and Akmal. It's a pleasure having you all with us. We'll be back again soon with a new episode and more topics to talk about here on Youth Talk.